You know, these Sundays of ordinary time are, you know, we wear these green vestments, and by the way, ordinary doesn't mean ordinary, it means ordinal. It means numbered Sundays. So the word ordinal means something that's numbered. And so when we say ordinary time, we don't mean like ordinary time. We mean the numbered Sundays of the year. This is the third Sunday of the year, okay? So with that in mind, the main focus of the readings during this time that we call ordinary time is discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? What are the qualities of a good disciple? What are things to avoid? How do we become better followers and disciples of the Lord? And I also hope you know that the word disciple comes from the Latin word means learners. We're still learning. You know, we're listeners. We're being taught. So with that in mind, today, I keep so busy working for the kingdom, I ain't got time to die. Some of you know that that's spiritual. And it's actually not as old as we might think. It wasn't written back in slave times, but it's written in the form of a spiritual. And it's a wonderful song that reminds us, you know, I just keep so busy working for the kingdom. I ain't got time to die. Now, there are three things there for today. And by the way, I apologize. It's cold in the church today. And I've tried everything I know to do to get the boiler to send the heat up. So they're coming on Monday. All right, but I'm so sorry. Now, I would ask you to ponder with me three qualities of good discipleship. First of all, that we are to be undefiant, that we are to be unfettered, and that we are to be untiring in our work. Now, let's take a quick look at some of these. First of all, to be undefiant, you see what happened. We sort of picked up the story of Jonah, the reluctant prophet, in the middle. Not in the middle, but we didn't read the first section. But the first section reminds, we're taught that Jonah didn't want to go to the Ninevites. And it's 500 miles to Nineveh from, you know, Israel. But he went 1,500 miles out toward Tarshish on a boat. It's always a longer journey when you try to get out of God's will. I promise you. We think, oh, no, I don't want that. That's too complicated. It'll be too long. And you end up making a longer journey. So instead of obeying God, he defiantly said no. And as you know, the whole story, I know that some of our young children, I hope you know the story of Jonah, but most of us who are older know that he had a whale of a ride. He finally got cast off the ship, and then he had swallowed up by a whale. And you know where that whale dropped him? Right back on the shores of Joppa, where he left. And that's where we picked up the story today. And he finally obeyed God, and he says, 500 miles is shorter than 1,500 miles, and I don't want to be in the belly of no whale anymore. But at the end of the day, we ourselves, what is God asking you to do? I, like you, I struggle a lot right now. I mean, our world is in a bad condition. We're in pandemic. But there's also, again, a lot of moral values and things and struggles. And I go to God and I say, what am I supposed to do? And I think saving the culture is a little above my pay grade. He said, Carlito, do what I told you to do. Every day, you get up and you preach the gospel to your people. They are a gift to you from me. And you preach it and you teach it without compromise. If you're a parent, God gave you the gift of children. Talk to them, preach to them, teach them. Do not let them fall into the foolishness that goes on in our culture today, where people just think, you know, wild sex and who even knows what gender is anymore and all that kind of stuff goes on. Just teach them what God taught. and stay focused. Teach them to pray. I hope you have a crucifix in your home. If not, go sell everything you have and buy one. And point to that. Have a little prayer place. Read them Bible stories. Teach them what God is what God teaches. So as a pastor, as a parent, that's always going to be your first place. Some of you are younger and you're not married yet, but you're getting ready for marriage. Get ready. Find a good spouse. Get married. Stay married. Get married first. Stay married and start having children. And do what you need to do. Now, some of us, you know, I have other little pulpits, I guess you might say. I did some writing from newspapers and different things. But whatever your pulpit, whatever your place, listen to God, find out what He wants you to do, and do it. But don't be defiant. Well, I'd rather have this than that. Well, that woman's prettier than my wife, or that guy over there. No, that's not where God called you. Well, some priest will say, well, that parish over there is more affluent. No. Undefiantly work in the vineyard He's given you. If only my children were... No. You stay there, you work there, you preach until the last beat of your heart. So, number one, for a good disciple is to be undefiant and to preach and teach and call other disciples until the last beat of your heart. Number two is this idea of being unfettered. What an unusual reading we had today in the second reading. I'll remind you of it with a few verses. I tell you, brothers and sisters, time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, and so on. You say, what's the deal? What's he saying here? I'm supposed to love my wife and cherish her, and he's saying I should live as though I don't. What is he saying? Should I be chaste, celibate? What's he asking? What if you really read the whole context of 1 Corinthians 7, he says, look, do not turn anything in this world, even as precious as your spouse, and I hope your spouse is precious to you, even though they give you a lot of trouble, and your children too. Do not turn anyone or anything into an idol. Don't do that. You have an infinite longing in your heart, and nothing finite can be the answer, even your beautiful spouse. They are human, they are limited, and they're beautiful and wonderful, and they're also troubling and annoying. Or your children, or your possessions. Oh, if I just get a bigger house, I'll be set. Just get a little more money in the paycheck, I'll be set. No, none of it. It's not the answer. It is not the answer. Only God can fill that spot. And he doesn't fill it, if you will, in an instant way, because we couldn't take it if he did. But I will tell you, right now, the main source of peace in my life is just to sit in that chapel and say, Lord, I have no idea what's going on. When will this pandemic be over? When can we shed these stupid masks? I know the vaccines are out, but Lord, we have so much work to do. How will I rebuild this church? Shh. Carlito. Do what I told you to do every day. Now, I have a few more things that I'll say to you in this final piece, but we have to have a plan. But I don't even know if the plan will work, because I don't know when God will open the door again. I just know this. He's God, and I'm not. Don't turn anything or anyone into an idol. Be unfettered, unchained from this world. As I lay dying in the ICU up there at Georgetown, I didn't die, you know, so you're still stuck with me. But I mean, the first few days were pretty dicey, and the doctors told me, and thank God they only told me really later, you know, we didn't know if you were going to make it the first couple days. You know, you were looking bad. And as I lay there, and I sort of knew I was dying, but I said, Lord, I want to come home. I want to be with you. I want to see your face. But Lord, I also know some people are depending on me right now. It's your decision, but Lord, I'm ready. I love you. I'll come home. Or keep me here, because there's some family members and other people. And of course, in some sense, you know, you depend on me, although they can always find some other priest to stand up here. But you know, I have people like you do that I care about. You are raising children. You'd like to finish raising them. There's a few things maybe you'd like to get done before God calls you. But at some point, it's always in His hands. And we can't be fettered by anything in this world, chained, restricted. We can't be, and yet we are, because we're human, and we struggle. And we say, yeah, I know, Lord, here's the deal, though. I really want this, and I don't want that. But the Lord finally has to say to us, look, that's not the answer. And so I have peace. The only place I find peace right now, in this confusion that we're in, with this pandemic and with other moral issues in our culture that have been developing for decades, is to go before Him and say, I can't solve all that, but I can stand in this pulpit and I can preach and I can get up every day and say the prayers you've asked me to say, and I will do it. You find out what He wants you to do. Do not be, so be undefiant and be unfettered. If you have a family, raise them in the fear of the Lord. Holy fear, not cringing fear, but to hold God in wonder and awe. Teach them the Bible. Teach them. I have to do the same. If you're preparing for, you know, again, I've gone through that list. I repeat myself, so I will move on, but we are to be undefiant and we are to be unfettered. And finally, we're to be untiring. Now, it's interesting, in the gospel, the Lord said, there's a funny little expression there. He passed by and he saw these guys. They were fishermen. The first four disciples he called were fishermen. Now, there were a few others in the group, like Judas was an accountant. Not the patron saint of accountants, all right? James, the other James, there's two Jameses, was a stonemason, you know. So there were others, but I simply say this to you, that the first four were fishermen. What is it about being fishermen that teaches us about discipleship? And I'll just list these things. And fishermen are patient, professional, purposeful. They're pursuing, partnered, and persistent. You know I love my alliterations. First of all, fishermen have to be patient. I've never fished. I can't kill a living thing. I even try to let flies out the window, you know? But some people enjoy fishing. But you know, you throw that pole, and you may be a long time waiting. And even if you're a commercial fisherman, you throw that big net out there, and the fish you got to wait. You got to wait a lot. So they have to be patient. And I'm like you, patiently waiting for the restoration of the church. I, like you, I'm trying my very best to keep praying for the return. Right now, when we were at our peak, just before the plague, 600 people came here. Now we have less than 200. We're in trouble. It's not about money. You've been very faithful. It's about souls. People need Jesus. They need the Eucharist. But I have to patiently wait for the moment when I can go back out without a mask on and being treated like I was some horrifying pariah. Oh my God, someone's knocking at my door. They might have COVID. When that moment comes, we're going to have to get busy For now we patiently wait, but will you patiently wait with me in an anticipatory way? I'm going to need your help. This church needs to be filled up again. And I am so glad you are here today. And I know why some people haven't returned. This is not about a judgment. But I tell you, we've got to get them back. Because people need Jesus. They need the Eucharist. They need fellowship. They need confession. People need Jesus. So patient. Fishermen are also professional. They study fish. They know what fish do. Fish at a certain time of day when the water is and the light is bright, they're up near the surface. At other times, they're swimming more deeply. You know, you name it. They know the proper bait. They study fish. And so for all of us who would be disciples, you need to understand, well, how can I reach this person? Some people need a word of warning. Other people, more gentle. But we have to know the persons that we're trying to reach. I'm very frank with some people. You know how I can be. I said to someone the other day, I just don't want you to go to hell. You said that to me? I said, yeah, I did. I really care about you, and I don't want you to go to hell. But the Bible says if you persist in this behavior, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, that was a strong moment, right? Other times, got to be more gentle. But you know who you're dealing with. And sometimes, like Jesus, we have to mix it up, right? Jesus could be gentle, forgiving, merciful, and he could also set impossible standards. You're not even supposed to have a dirty thought. But then he'd forgive prostitutes and tax collectors and a woman caught in adultery, like that. It's a mix. You don't always know, but you have to be professional, so to speak. You know the people God's asked you to reach. And to the degree that you understand, you prudently, consistently preach the gospel to them. Now then, they are not just patient fishermen are and professional, but they're purposeful. That is to say, you go out on a boat. Now, especially before the internet and other ways, there wasn't anything. You just did one thing. I'm fishing. You know? Whereas, you know, today we're doing 80 things. I'm fishing. I'm looking for souls. Yeah, but what's on TV? And I got to check my email and my Twitter account and my... We've got to get a little more focused. There are priorities in life, and too often we miss them. And we maximize the minimum, and we minimize the maximum, you see, and we're majoring in all the minors. And if we don't have a sense of priority, there is no greater priority right now than the care of your soul and people you love, who may go to hell if you don't call them back. We make light of this stuff. We're all running around, oh, I might get COVID. I do not make light of COVID. I nearly died from it. But my soul is much more important than my body. And I don't think people think like that today. Everyone's in a panic about a disease that might kill them. All right. But what about mortal sin? And so again, we have to become more purposeful. We have to help people. Our main priority, if we're a disciple, is the conversion of our own soul and that of others. Next, I'll just say we have to be pursuing. Notice, fishermen don't wait for fish to just jump in the boat. They go to the fish. And I will promise you that 99% of Catholic parishes in this world let's open the door and hope they come. Fish don't just usually jump into the boat. We have to go to the fish. We have to go out these doors. Every time Mass ends, and God bless, I thought of Deacon Cyrus as I'm saying this, and he would always say to us, go, go, go forth now, announce the gospel. That acclamation usually belongs to the deacon. Well, we don't have a deacon now, so I tell it to you. When I say the Mass is ended, go in peace, I'm not just saying go have a nice day. I'm saying go. You've somehow today encountered Jesus Christ. You heard a word from him. He fed you with his body and blood, and even through this ugly mug of a priest, he spoke to you. Now go tell somebody. Bring souls. Go to the fish. Go. But we, most Catholic parishes, we've got this little, let's hope, open the doors and hope they come. We'll ring the bell a little bit too. Let's ring a bell. Now, I don't have everything, every detail laid out, but right now I'm going to tell you, as soon as we can begin to open up again, I mean, take these masks off and not be treated like you're an existential threat to me, when we can knock on doors again and go out and meet people and go to Eastern Market and over here to this new Safeway, which is great, by the way, new Safeway, great place to go. We got to do it. There are 4,000 new units of housing behind us. All those big apartment buildings, all that stuff they put up. The whole city's changing, for better or worse, but it is. And we've got to start knocking on those doors. I'm going to particularly ask my young adults to help me. 8 years ago, we knocked on 2,000 doors. And we moved our numbers from 350 up to 600. But we got to do better than that. This church seats 750. I remember a time when over 1,000 people came here to Mass on Sunday. Some of you do as well. We've got to reach souls. So we need to pursue. We need to go to the fish. We can't just wait for them to come to us. And I wrote an article in the National Catholic Register, and a few of you may know that I do this kind of writing. And I asked, what plan does your parish have? You know the answer? 99 times out of 100? None. I preached a retreat to 25 bishops, and I asked them, what's the plan in your diocese? How are we going to bring, we all, nationwide, we've lost two-thirds of Catholics to the plague. They're no longer coming. And there may be a reason they can't come. But when it's over, what is our plan? What are we planning to do? Are we going to hit the pavement and get out there? Or are we just going to say, well, I hope they come back? You see the vision. All right. I'm going on too long, as usual. But fishermen, they were fishermen. Fishermen are patient. They have to wait sometimes for the opportune moment. But they're professional and they're purposeful. And they're pursuing. They're also partnered. I would never ask anyone to go in this neighborhood without someone with you. Because we have to work together. We need to be partnered with other people. This is evangelization, is sometimes you can do it alone, but for the most part, you'll need two or three people. And I remember when we walked this neighborhood, there was either two or three of us together. And we walked and we knocked on doors and someone said, you take the lead this time. I felt embarrassed the last one. We supported each other. We also had people in the church praying. We had people preparing a meal for us up at the school cafeteria. And we walked and we prayed and we knocked on doors. And whether we were successful and we got no convert at all, at least we did this. I want my neighbors to know we love Jesus here and we love you. And if you're looking for a spiritual home, please come join us. And eventually the numbers came up. It didn't happen right away. All right. And then finally, they're persistent. Fishermen, that is. If you don't make the catch one day, you're back out the next day. And the next day. And the next day. So, we have then an image, or if you will, a teaching on discipleship. And the main thing we're seeing today in these readings is that God wants disciples to make more disciples. If you want to know what job one is in your life, this is it. Job one, go make disciples of all the nations. We're doing job 9 and 10 and 11, and we're skipping job 1. And we Catholics are terrible at this. So with all that in mind, just remember, we are to be undefiant. Jonah, I want you to go to your enemy, Nineveh, and I want you to tell them, because I love those people, and I don't want them to go to hell. Jonah said, I ain't going there. Let them go to hell. And he had to take a whale of a ride to get back to do what he had to do. We're also to be unfettered because so many things keep us from job one. And we turn them into idols. And number three, we have to be, if you will, just like these fishermen, we have to ultimately be untiring in our work. Until the last beat of your heart, go make disciples. Somebody says, well, Father must have a plan. I do. I could have sketched it for you, but shepherds don't have sheep. Sheep have sheep. I'm not calling you sheep, but I'm just saying, you get the image, right? Everyone expects Father to pull something off. You're the ones. You have families. You have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You have nieces and nephews. You have spouses, and they need Jesus. And we have to rebuild this church. You have been very generous. There is no money problem right now, none. We are fine financially. I'm not talking money. I'm talking souls. Sorry to be kind of firm today, but I want to create an urgency, which we don't seem to have much of in the church today, that souls are being lost. Jesus teaches that, not me. You're either a wise virgin or a foolish one. You're a sheep, you're a goat. You're a wheat or a tare. But he says this. Well, God would never do that. Well, all I know is that God has said to us that one day your life will end. And the question for you is, where will you spend eternity? And not just for you, but for people you love and care about. So, I'm sounding preachy right now. I guess it's kind of a hazard when you're a preacher, but let's stand and pray. I keep so busy working for the kingdom, I ain't got time to die. All right.